Take your Bibles and go to Proverbs chapter 31 this morning. Proverbs chapter 31. I'm going to read the portion of scripture that talks about the virtuous woman. And I would like to tell you that we're going to teach or preach all the way through this portion of scripture. But I'm not going to get past verse 10 in our message this morning. And so even though we'll read all of it, we're going to talk about the subject this morning. Here's the message title: Far Above Rubies, Far Above Rubies. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. In Proverbs chapter 31 and verse number 10, if you'll follow along as I read, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hand. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She lieth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate. Heavenly Father, thank you for this portion of scripture. And Lord, what a beautiful portrait that you paint, Lord, in this chapter that gives every woman a goal to aspire to. And Lord, there's so much in this chapter and so many things we could pay attention to. But I pray, Lord, as we look at verse number 10, dear God, that many of the things that are said, Lord, they will be covered in this chapter, refer back into this chapter. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless our moms and bless the ladies, dear God. We ask that this would be a sweet time for them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, we've already given you a gift, and I guess as Pastor Blessed Oak Baptist Church, I just want to say to our moms, thank you so much, and God bless each and every one of you. We appreciate you. Probably one of the joys of pastoring at this time of life and with the church that God's blessed us with is just being able to, on a service-by-service basis, just watch the children that run around Blessed Oak Baptist Church. I tell people we've been on about a 12 or 13 year baby boom. I'm going to stop saying that. I'm just going to say we're just in the middle of a forever baby boom around here, because I'm going to stop counting the years, because it just seems like that God is blessing us with young couples, and they are having their families, and God is blessing them for doing it. And Lucas, you and Ainsley, right? You've got a brand new one. How old? 11 days old. Okay, where is this? A little guy? Is it a guy? You've got him right there. Hey, stand up where everybody can look at him. I'm not going to embarrass you and make you bring him. Now tell me his name.
Mason.
Mason. All right. What do you think about that? All right, let's give him a hand. That is awesome, man. What do you think about that? Well, there's so many things I want to go off on right now, but we've got a segment in our society that hates little babies and don't want to see them born. And I mean, they'll kill them after they're born if they get a chance. That's wicked and that's evil, folks. And how in the world can you go back there and think that every life isn't precious? But anyway, we're blessed in this church. Moms, God bless you. Some of you young moms, I know, good night. I know there's days you feel overwhelmed and kids are a lot and they're a handful. And some days, you really believe that they are God sent angels from heaven. And other days you wonder if maybe they came from some other place you're not sure about, I get it. I get it. Really, I don't get it, ladies. I don't have a clue of everything that you do. And I appreciate it more than you know. And moms, you're doing a good job. You need to hear that. I know from time to time you get overwhelmed and sometimes it seems like you're not winning everything that you wish you could win. But you know what? Hang in there. Just be faithful. Amen. Love them little babies. Be consistent. Be faithful. Follow Bible principles. And above everything else, listen, love them and point them to Jesus. Amen. Just love them, love them, love them, love them. Every child, Lucas, thank you. His natural inclination, pick up that boy and kiss him and show him and kiss him. Just don't ever stop doing it. Just love these little babies. Love these children around here. I know they can be ornery at times. I know there's the discipline side of it. We all know that. But, discipline don't mean anything if there's not love connected to it, And so just keep loving these little babies. You're doing a good job. A virtuous woman. What a statement. Think about this in verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? There's a question mark. And then this statement, for her price is far above rubies. And I couldn't get past that verse. Matter of fact, I got stuck on the last word. You see, everything that God chooses to do in the Bible, he chooses to do on purpose. Yes, sir. Every word he selects on purpose. And when God takes a animate object, something that we all know about and all of us can at least relate to and all of us have at least seen, and he takes that animate object and he compares it to a person, then he does that very much for a reason. See, God created the virtuous woman and God also created the ruby that he's comparing the virtuous woman to. So if God chose the ruby, think about this, then he chose that a particular gemstone for a reason. And so when I got into that and God opened that thought up in my mind, I got to thinking how little I really know about rubies. And so I thought, I told my wife, I texted her right before church and I said, bring me a ruby ring that I've gotten you or a ruby necklace that I've gotten you because I wanted to show it. And she said, I'll look, but I don't think I have any ruby jewelry at all. Now, one of two things is happening here, okay? She's either lost it, okay? You don't think that's it? No, but I'm getting no... Man alive, there's this like murmur like, oh. I mean, I'm not sure I didn't hear some like, crucify him, crucify him. There's some weird things going on there. Okay, or I've never bought her one, or I have, and she just wants another one. I don't. Could be the. Come to think of it, there could be three things going on here. But so anyway, I was going to show you the ruby, something that I bought my wife, but apparently I've never. Guess what she's getting for our anniversary? All right. Amen. I wanted to look at it. I wanted to show it to you. Rubies. Several things. I just said, let's study this thing. Hey, so much of God's creation and the things he created teaches us lessons. Yes, sir. And when he takes the ruby, ladies, of all the things he could have taken, he said, I'm going to take a ruby and I'm going to hold it up and I'm going to tell you how precious you are and how important you are. Matter of fact, he doesn't say you are equal in value to the ruby. You're equal in rareness to the ruby. He uses this phrase, far above rubies. Let me tell you some things I learned as I studied rubies. Number one, rubies are rare. They're rare. One of the things that makes them so valuable is that they're rare. If rubies was as common as gravel, they would be worth nothing. Okay? But rubies are rare. Now, wait a minute. So you think about this. Our PA system is having some, I know you can't do a thing about it. I'm just praying that some truck driver on the CB don't come busting through over the mic. Not that all truck drivers would be saying things that they shouldn't. I love truck driving. So anyway, you say, well, preacher, are women rare? Well, I looked that up just to make sure. Over half the U.S. population are women. Now, what does that mean to us men? It means this, we're outnumbered. That's what it means. That means slightly more than one out of every two people in America are women. And can I just say this? That's not rare. And by the way, that's not what the Bible says here. It doesn't say a woman is a rare thing or women are rare things. It's very specific in what it says. Who can find a virtuous woman? And so what is rare? Virtue in this day and age is rare.
Yes, sir.
Okay, just understand it, ladies. Most of the famous women and most of the celebrities and most of the, you know, rock and roll icons, let me just help you Swifties a little bit. They are not modeling virtue for you. That's as common as gravel. Excuse me, it's common as dirt. But the Bible says when you find a virtuous one, well, preacher, what does the word mean? Virtuous means this. Virtue means three main character traits, courage and strength and wisdom. And the one that's most associated in the book of Proverbs is this matter of wisdom. Matter of fact, wisdom is compared to rubies in the book of Proverbs also. Proverbs chapter 3, the Bible says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof of fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. And so it personifies wisdom, and it uses a female pronoun. I think that's interesting. And when it says there, she is more precious than rubies, I don't think it's just talking about wisdom. I think it's talking about a woman who has wisdom. Sir, if you have a virtuous wife, you are blessed. You are blessed. Proverbs 8:10, receive my instruction and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that can be desired are not to be compared to it. And so when we talk about a wise woman, there's only one place in the book of Proverbs, by the way, that uses the phrase wise woman, and that's in Proverbs 14:1. And by the way, we ought to just all stop and listen to it and throw out all the nonsense that is constantly being pushed upon our young ladies in the United States of America and just listen to the Bible here. The Bible says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And so it is interesting that wisdom, and I can't teach all the way through it, but all through the book of Proverbs chapter 31, that entire thing, how much of that is comparing a virtuous woman to the way that she is serving in her home and loving in her home and working in her home and investing in her husband and investing in her children. Folks, listen to me. The Bible paints us a beautiful picture of a virtuous woman and says that is rare. A ruby is rare. By the way, a wise woman in today's society is more rare than rubies. And her value, according to the Bible, is far above rubies. So number one, rubies are rare. Number two, rubies are valuable. They're valuable. It goes on to say, for her price is far above rubies. So it introduces this idea of value there. Rubies are valuable. One of the four stones that make up here's the term that jewelers use, that make up precious gems. There's four stones that are put into that category, and they're diamonds and sapphires and emeralds and rubies. By the way, rubies, sapphires, and emeralds generate more economic impact than all other gemstones combined, including diamonds. So think about that. Yeah, there's some somewhat famous rubies out there. In 2011, an 8.24 carat ruby ring was auctioned for $4.2 million, with the price per carat amounting to approximately $500,000 a carat. The most expensive ruby ever sold was the Hope Ruby, which weighed 32.08 carats and sold for $6.74 million. That's the most expensive one that was ever sold. But of all the ruby facts, this one might bog your mind the most. The most expensive ruby ever discovered is known as the Sunrise Ruby. This ruby was mined and sold for a whopping $30.42 million in May of 2015. High quality rubies, you think about this, that are 10 carats or over. Actually, if you had a 10 carat ruby and a 10 carat diamond, the 10 carat ruby is worth more than the 10 carat diamond. And that's true of everything 10 carats and more, just because of the rarity of that size of a ruby. Well, preacher, what are you saying here? I'm saying rubies are valuable. You know what? Virtuous women are valuable, folks. They're valuable. There's no way that we could possibly explain to you, if you are a virtuous woman, how much you mean to your family. There's no way we can express enough how much you mean to this church. Listen to me, and I'm not just being sensational here. You mean so much to this country.
Amen.
More than you know.
Right.
More than you can fathom.
Yes,
and so, you know what? Rubies are rare and rubies are valuable. Now, let me get to this point because I think it's interesting. Rubies are remarkable in their appearance. Remarkable in their appearance. The first thing that's striking about a ruby when you look at it is the color of that stone. And one of the things that makes a ruby so rare is the fact that there has to be almost really an unusual process that goes into it, and certain minerals that have to be present in order to form this stone with that red color. And the word ruby, by the way, comes from the Latin word rubor, which means red. And let me just say this. All of us are born sinners, okay? And within ourselves, we're not, come on, let's just humble ourselves a little bit. We're just not worth much. But you know what? When I think of a ruby and I see that color, I think of the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sins. You say, preacher, I don't feel like I've been a virtuous woman, or I'm not a virtuous woman, or I read the Proverbs 31 and I read saw a little book one time, booklet written by a lady that says, I hate the Proverbs 31 woman. It was written by a Christian woman. I'm not sure I would have titled it that, but I think at times, you know, there's parts of the Bible that really challenge us men and describe what a godly man ought to be. And come on, men, sometimes we read that and we just kind of go, you know, I feel like I'm falling short in so many areas as a man. And I'm sure if I feel that way, ladies sometimes probably feel that way. But folks, let me tell you what makes you virtuous. Let me tell you the first step to value and virtue, and that's to come to Jesus. Because every single one of us is just a sinner. Come on, just a sinner. We're born into sin. We're prone to sin. Come on, the song says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the one I love. And, you know, that's who we are. And yet, God can take something that is of little value and he can purchase it unto himself and he can turn it into something of great value. And I want you to understand this. Look, I mean, my mom and dad didn't get saved till they were 26 years of age. And, you know, I think sometimes people don't have a church background. They come into church, they kind of look around and think, you know, are all these aliens and could, who are these people? And, you know, they must all been born into Christian homes and they all look perfect. And see, I know the backgrounds of the people that you're looking at. I know the backgrounds of the people that are sitting near you. And some of you that haven't been come very long, if you knew their backgrounds, you'd probably move, okay? Aren't you glad that God just meets us where we are?
Amen.
He just meets us where we are. My mom got saved at 26 years of age. And I'm not here to disparage my mom, but folks, this was in 1966. This is a woman who went to high school in the late 50s and was, come on, a young lady growing up in 1960s, okay? All right? You got it? Okay? All right? I'm not saying she was a flower girl, but, you know, She didn't look like an independent fundamental Baptist, I can tell you that. And you know what? God looked, and watch it. I want you to get this. God looked down and seen something valuable. Amen. And he said, you know what? I want that young lady. And mom and dad got saved, and they didn't know up from down, right from left, didn't know much about the Bible. But, you know, they just came to church with an open heart and just started learning. And, you know, who would have thought that she would have ended up being a pastor's wife for all those years? I mean, honestly, if you knew Donna Ogle in high school, and if you knew the Ogle family, and if you knew mom and dad when they first got saved, well, folks, this is the greatest thing that I can bring to you. God changes lives. And there's value in you that God sees and wants to bring out. And there's value that comes when God takes that blood of his and cleanses us. You know, they're remarkable in their appearance because of the color. Salvation changes a woman from the inside out, from the inside out. You know, it changes their heart. And then that works its way to the outside. And it doesn't happen overnight, but it happens. And God can take somebody. God can take anybody. And turn them into a ruby. That's awesome. Number two, they're remarkable in their appearance because of their transparency. Their transparency. Now, this is where I was going to have her bring the ruby. I've never bought her. And I was going to, you know, here's the thing, folks. You know, the color of that ruby, I could go out and find a small gravel, piece of gravel, and I could paint it the same color. And I could say to you, well, this is a ruby. Here's two rubies. And you'd look at that and say, that's not a ruby. You know why? Because just because they're same color doesn't mean that they're a gem. What is the main difference? You can see inside of it. Sometimes, I don't know how you ladies feel, but I kind of grieve for our young ladies sometimes and the pressure that the world puts upon them and the image that the world has set up that they're supposed to somehow live up to, which is ridiculous. Ridiculous. I just want to say it out loud. We judge people way too much from the outside. And you know what God's concerned about? The inside. I had a grandma that I remember saying to my sister one time, and it wasn't that Lori was doing anything wrong, but, you know, she said to my sister one time, honey, don't you forget this. Pretty is pretty does. How many of you have heard that growing up? Pretty is pretty does. And I want to just explain, well, what's that mean? What she was really saying was pretty is what you are on the inside. Pretty is your actions. Pretty is your heart. And in the world, you know, they say, you've got to do this to be beautiful. You've got to do this to be pretty. And listen, I can paint the rock, folks. It doesn't make it a jewel. And you know, I'm not preaching against makeup. Don't get nervous, okay? You know. But I feel like there's so many young ladies that they're so worried about the outside and so much pressure on how they look on the outside. And sadly, that's now even come into pressuring them to dress immodestly. Come on. I'm watching little girls sometimes where I'm thinking to myself, good night, what in the world? Where is their mother? Where is their grandmother? Just to help them out in life, you know? And it scares me because I think to myself, if they're that insecure that they feel like the only way they can get attention is to flaunt their body like that, they're going to be in trouble one of these days. I'm not trying to be, you hear my heart right now. I'm not picking on anybody. That hurts my heart because I just want to go to them and say, God sees value on the inside. God loves you for who you are on the inside. Young ladies, listen to me. You need to find a man who loves you for who you are on the inside. Amen. The transparency of it. Think about that. Its beauty comes from the inside. And I guess I have already, but young ladies, I wrote this. Let me grandpa you for a minute. What makes a young woman beautiful? It's not makeup, lipstick, jewelry, or tight and revealing clothes. Listen, that will earn you the looks and lust of some men, but it will not earn you the respect of real men. Immodesty reveals to men your body. Modesty reveals to men your dignity and tells them about your wisdom. So don't forget that. Because of their color, because of its transparency, because of the ability to reflect light. I don't know, maybe I'm just too fascinated by simple things, and I'm not in a jewelry store very often, but you men have all been there. You walk in by yourself and these women just start going like this because they, you know, they got a pigeon. They got a mark, man. There's a guy that don't have a clue what he's looking for or doing, and they're probably going to get a lot of money out of you, you know. So, when they pull those beautiful, you know, it's whether it's a diamond or whether it's a sapphire, whatever, whether it's the rubies especially, and they hold it up into that light. And there's special light, by the way, in jewelry stores. If you ever notice how beautiful it looks in a jewelry store, and you get out there later and you're like, what, why isn't it sparkling like that? But if you shine the light on it, you know what you see? It has the ability to reflect the light. And every time it turns, there's just something to marvel at. It just looks like it's transforming in front of your eyes. And there's just, you know, it's because of the, listen, I'm helping you. It's because of the light that it's reflecting. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And real beauty comes from when you just get close enough to Jesus to reflect his light onto other people. And I will tell you, you will have an impact on folks like you can never have until you're his. But here's something interesting about a ruby and somewhat unusual. Not only does it have the ability to reflect the light, it has the ability to absorb light. And I didn't realize this. But if you take it out into the sunlight, a ruby, and they say this is true of most rubies, at least those of decent quality. If you'll take it out into the sunlight and just hold it out into the sunlight, leave it there, and then go into a closet in a dark area, it will actually absorb the light. Now think about that. See, when God said, hey, this virtuous woman I'm about to talk about, her price is far above rubies, there were things he wanted us to learn about. And it's not only important, ladies, listen, to reflect the light of Jesus, it's important to absorb the light. Because people don't just need to see Jesus reflected from you, they need to sense that Jesus is in you. Matter of fact, there were some cultures that held the ruby as extremely valuable because they believed that there was literal fire inside of the ruby because of its ability to absorb light. And I got to thinking about that, and I got to thinking, my goodness sakes, you know what? If we just get close to Jesus, this is good for men and women, by the way. If we just get close to Jesus, close enough where Jesus would reflect from us onto other people, if we get close enough to Jesus where we're not just trying to reflect him, watch this, sometimes that's all we're doing, and we really start absorbing him, and Jesus becomes real. Listen, young ladies, I know what the world is trying to tell you will make you beautiful or make you popular or this is the way to dress or this is the way to wear your hair or this, all this other stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. I have preached for years, and you know this if you're here and you're a member of this church, but your pastor for going on 30 years has preached across this country to young people, and I've interacted with thousands, tens of thousands of Christian young men and Christian young ladies. And there is just something about certain young ladies, and I don't know how to explain it except to say this. God is just all over them, and God is just in them. And you get to talking to them, and there is just a sense of holiness about them and godliness about them and a sweetness of personality and countenance that, listen, can only come from a holy God. Amen. And I believe that's what virtue is. I don't know if it's an exact definition or not. All I know is I know it when I'm around it. And you know what we need? We need a whole generation of young ladies to stop going over to the world and saying, what do I need to be? But instead would start going to the Bible and get into the presence of God and say, what do I need to be to help this world be what it ought to be? So because of their color, because of its transparency, because of its ability to reflect light, because of its ability to absorb light. And then this was really interesting. It said that rubies are remarkable in their appearance because of their imperfections. And because of the type of stone, I won't go through all of the explanation of it, that creates a ruby, you never find a ruby that does not have imperfections. This is known and it's accepted, and it does not detract from their value. Now, I like that because I think all of us need to hear that from time to time. Amen. It's okay to spot imperfections on a natural ruby. The scientists will spot the inclusions of rutile needles and color impurities on all natural rubies. All natural rubies. These are imperfections. I love this. Are called silk. S-I-L-K. Silk. So ladies, next time your husband's pointing out one of your imperfections, you just say, that's my silk. That's my silk. Let me give the men a pep talk right now, okay? Let me give all the men a pep talk. Listen, I love my wife for her perfections, but I love her for her imperfections too. Amen. You know what? I don't expect her to be perfect. You know why? Because I don't want her to expect me to be perfect. Right. And we just love each other for the way God made us. And you know what? We're both doing the best we can. And you know what, men? Come on now. That ought to be good enough. Amen. Come on. It ought to be good enough. I don't understand why some men are so anointed by the Holy Spirit. They have the ability to see everything that's wrong in their wife, but they can't seem to see anything that's wrong in themselves. Sir, listen to me. Focus on yourself. Fix what's wrong with you. That's the best way you can fix what's wrong with your wife. Fix what's wrong with you, okay? But you know what? I love her for her perfections or imperfections. Gentlemen, learn to value your wife for both her strengths and her weaknesses. If she had no weaknesses, she wouldn't need you. She needs you to protect her in her weaknesses, not to berate or belittle her for her weaknesses. Amen? And I want to say this again. Excuse me, sir, but you have them also. Amen? So rubies are remarkable in their appearance. Why? Because of the color. Let's not forget about the blood of Christ. That's what makes us valuable. Because of their transparency, because of their ability to reflect light, because of their ability to absorb light, because of their imperfections. That's one of the things that makes them beautiful. Number four, rubies have long been associated with royalty. I won't spend just a moment on this, but let me tell you something. When you get born again, you become a child of the King.
Amen.
You become a child of the King. These young ladies up here that are saved, born again, let me tell you whether you know it or not, these are princesses.
Amen. That's right.
These are princesses. These guys are princes. Oh, Lord, help us. Amen. Amen. Do I get a sword? Come on. Hey, royalty. God adopted me. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know what that makes me? A child of the King. A child of the King. A child of the King. Let's stop letting the world beat you down. You put your, come on, straighten your shoulders up and look them in the eyes. I'm a child of the King. Doesn't matter what you think about me, don't think about me, doesn't matter a hoot, I'm a child of the King. Amen. The most desirable shade of ruby, listen to this, was neat. This is neat. Is deep red with a hint of blue. And by the way, blue stands for royalty. So the most desirable shade of ruby is a deep red with a hint of blue, which is referred to as, pigeon's blood. Say why? I haven't the faintest idea. But I thought to myself, of all of the rubies, when they examine them and rate them, if they saw a strong red color and a hint of blue, I think every virtuous woman ought to be covered with the blood of Jesus Christ and have that, come on, that crown that she wears, that hint of royalty in her stance, in her appearance, in her respect for herself, in her love for others, and understand that you are precious in the sight of God. Number five, rubies are created as a result of high temperature and pressure. I'm going to say a couple things. Like many gemstones, most gemstones, rubies are made under extreme heat and pressure below the earth. When compressed, oxygen and aluminum atoms turn into corundum. This mineral, along with the presence of chromium, create rubies and their distinct hue. Now, I want to just say this. The most virtuous women that I've ever met in my life, if you get to know them, if you really get to know them, they've had to go through some extremely difficult things and yet maintain their virtue. Let me tell you this, guys. Rubies are hard. They're almost impossible to scratch or break. Matter of fact, they are the hardest stone outside of the diamond is the ruby. And God said, let me tell you about a virtuous woman. She's far above rubies. I want to say something maybe to people that don't understand from the outside looking in. You look at these ladies and you look at them dressed in a feminine manner, and you look at them taking their rightful place, come on, fulfilling God's intent in their family and raising their children and loving their husband. And the world wants to say those are weak women. Let me tell you something. It takes more strength to have virtue than it does to become worldly.
Amen.
More strength. There's ladies all over this room that have gone through hard things, and yet they've maintained their virtue. Come on. I'm going to say this to all of our parents that are raising girls. Don't raise weak, helpless girls. Because you know what? They're going to have to be a mother one of these days, and they're going to have to be a wife. And you know what you're going to find out? Life is going to get hard. Don't spoil them. Don't spoil them. All the time I'm up here saying, come on, we got to raise boys that are strong. We better raise young ladies that are strong also.
Right.
Strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Okay? Don't mistake weakness or meekness for weakness. It takes more strength to be virtuous than it does to lack virtue. It takes more strength to do right than it does to do wrong. It takes more strength to stay pure than to give in to pressure. To be submissive than to be controlling, to be sweet than to be bitter, to obey the Bible than to give into worldliness. Listen, the strongest women are not the women that have turned their back on God and out there beating their chest saying, I am woman, hear me roar. The strongest women are the women that are standing behind their husband and they're saying, what has God created you to do? And I understand God has created me to be a helpmeet, to see to it that you succeed at that. Listen, and to lose their life. I want to say it again. I'm hearing too much of this. Well, I just feel like I lost myself. I just feel off myself. Yeah, that's what we're all supposed to do.
Amen. Yep. Right.
The problem we're having in marriages is there's too much focus on yourself.
Yes.
Come on. The number one problem in marriages is selfishness.
Yes, sir.
To think about this. To lose yourself in a cause. To lose yourself in helping your husband fulfill God's will for his life, to lose yourself in raising your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord so they can grow up. Generation after generation of American women did that, and America was a strong country. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, you know what? We had the sexual revolution.
Right. Good.
And come on now, check it out. Women have been miserable ever since. You know why? Because God has a purpose and an intent.
Amen.
And he created Adam, put him in the garden. And he told Adam, this is where you're going to be. And these are your duties. And by the way, this is your work. This is what you're supposed to perform. Because a man that's not got a job is worthless. Doesn't have a purpose is worthless. That was before sin, folks. That's not a result of sin. Work is not a result of sin. And by the way, you're to protect this place and you're to keep this place. And then he watched Adam and he said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make an help or a helper meet or designed specifically for him. And listen, you could call this a fairy tale if you want. I believe the King James Holy Bible, he put Adam to sleep, took a rib and formed Eve around that rib. You know why? Because she came from his side and she was going to stand by his side. And she was there to be a helper meat designed for him. And yet, folks, if I taught that in the average university in America, I would be strung up out in the square.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yes, sir.
And yet the happiest women I've ever met in my life are the ones that have lost themselves in what God created them to be. I am going to wait for the one that God has for me. I'm going to marry that man. I am going to find out what God's called him to do. Listen, I say this all the time. You check for fingerprints, anything that I've ever succeeded on, and you'll find my wife's fingerprints on them somewhere. You know what? She is a help meet for me. She's been a helper for me. She lost her life. Come on, lost her life in helping me. I'm supposed to lose my life in pursuing God's will. She's supposed to lose her life in helping me pursue God's will, raising them babies in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Preacher, that's not what's taught in the university. It's not what's taught in the public school. It needs to be what's taught in church.
Amen.
Amen. Rubies are often worn. This is interesting. I'm almost done. Rubies are often worn by men going to battle.
Yeah.
They used to, back in the olden days, they would decorate their shields and their swords and sometimes their armor. They would have a ruby somewhere. You know why? Think about this. Because it represented their wife. It represented who they were fighting for. And I'm going to tell you something. You show me a man that God has given a purpose, and you show me a woman that pours gas on that fire and says, you know what? You can be what God called you to be, and we can do what God called you to do. And you know what? I'm going to go beside you. You won't stop that man. You won't stop that man. In this society of role reversal, that has been all but lost. A virtuous woman will understand God's purpose for her husband, do everything in her power to help him fulfill that purpose. There's nothing more sad than a selfish woman who fails to understand the purpose for which God created her. Blessed is the man who has a wife who loves him and throws herself into helping him be all he can be for the Lord. Gentlemen, we need our wives. Amen. And we need to make sure that they feel valuable and loved and appreciated. Because the honest truth is, most of us be a mess without them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The last thing I'll say about rubies is this, number seven. Rubies are not just pretty to look at. They're involved in some of the most important and practical applications in society. The most common use for rubies is jewelry, and they are beautiful to look at. However, both natural and synthetic rubies are used in a variety of applications, the main ones being watchmaking, think about this, medical instruments, and producing lasers. And I thought about that. Man, when it comes to watchmaking, time management, come on, gentlemen, women are blessed in this and just have a sense about this. And, you know, they have to, because they're not just running their lives. They're running everybody's life and helping everybody get to the finish line. Sometimes I can forget about the clock. She never does. I thought about medical instruments, and I thought about the tender care of a mother. And you know what? God just put something inside of them that just has the ability to come along. You heard my dad say this. The best clinic, the best hospital in the world is mama's lap. Amen. Amen. I know sometimes it's necessary. We use hospitals and all of that. But I'm telling you, there was a day when little sick children just crawled into mama's lap. And you know what? That's the medicine they needed.
Right.
Then lasers. And I got to thinking about this. And every woman is gifted with that look. If you got something else, help me out here, man. I'm getting it right now, so that's all I got. No, lasers. They use them in lasers because of the ruby's ability to withstand high temperatures. It kind of goes back to what I said before. Let me tell you something. It's amazing to watch a family, a godly family, where God's put a godly woman. And you know what? Come on. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health, and you're going to experience it all. But there's something about that woman that just has the ability that no matter what is going on, maybe what disappointments, no matter whatever heartaches, whatever challenges, just to say, we're going to be okay, and we're going to make it work. And she just takes a hold of that thing. And I'm going to tell you something. Ladies, I don't even know how to put it into words. I don't have the skill to do it. I just don't have the vocabulary to do it. I'm so thankful for my mother and what she meant in our family. I'm so thankful for my wife, and I've watched her and what she's meant in our family. And I'm watching my daughters now and their mamas now, and I just sit back and wonder. You're doing a good job. It's okay that the imperfections are there. That's part of the beauty. Gentlemen, children, come on, let's honor today our wives.
Amen.
And let's honor our mothers. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for choosing the ruby. Lord, a man with a ruby on a sword or a shield or a piece of armor, ferocious in battle, has a confidence that I'm going to win. Lord, thank you for the ladies, Lord, of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thank you for the ministry that they perform every single week here. There's so many things that they can do that only they can do. Thank you for their tender care of our babies. Thank you for the teaching and the influence they have in the children. Thank you for, as the song was sung today, just being a sister's keeper to each other and a help and an encouragement and a love. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless them. And Lord, thank you, dear God. You reached down from heaven and you picked up a ruby and you let it sit there in the sun and reflect and let us all for a few minutes just understand its beauty and its worth. And then you said, now, virtuous woman, a woman of virtue, she's her worth, her price, she's far, far above rubies. Lord, thank you, dear God, again for our ladies. Bless them today, we pray in Jesus' name.